Good morning. So I thought I was going to get off easy this morning. This scripture reading is only three verses, just three verses. But these verses are powerful. They embody the wisdom of Jesus in many respects. And so in her wisdom, Barbara asked me to read it twice, which I will do. And I hope that you will think about the words in this scripture. So with that, this morning's scripture comes from Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read that again, and please consider it. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always good to throw a little curveball if you can. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. I haven't stood up here yet. This is great. Thank you to Pam Bentley for assisting this morning. Gina is with her daughter, who has had a white coat ceremony for nursing, which is a big deal. So that's very exciting. And I wonder now if you'd bow your heads and pray with me and for me. Holy God, it is good to be here. It is good to gather to worship you, to take time to pause and to reflect and to remember and to wonder, to remember how wise you are, that the words that you leave us are full of meaning and can guide us and direct us. And I pray now, God, that the words that I have prepared would become yours, so that together we might learn and grow and become more of who you call us to be. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So I want to start with a question, and you don't have to raise your hand. You can just answer inside your head. When you are driving on 66 or 495 or whatever big road you drive on, and you are driving along at speed, maybe 5 miles an hour above the speed limit, as some do, and you're driving at speed and there's somebody in front of you, do you want to pass them? Even though they're going the same speed or maybe a tiny bit faster, do you want to pass them? I will confess that often I do. I don't know why, that's just part of who I am. When you are sitting in a meeting, perhaps you're in a board meeting or you're in a school meeting, do you wish that the person speaking would just get to the next point? When the pastor is preaching, do you sometimes wish she would just get done? You don't ever have to answer that question. I do. I know I'm guilty about that. We live in a world that values hurrying up, getting to the next thing, being busy, accomplishing tasks. Go, go, go. And it is just kind of how we were created. It's kind of how the world is created right now. You are busy. It is good to be busy. Let's go. Let's do the next thing. But sometimes we look like this. Just around and around, and your leg, and the little guy's like, I don't know how to get on, I can't do this. So we came up with this sermon. Okay, I hadn't seen that. Oh, that's fabulous. Let's just watch till the end. Go, go, go. No. All right, we better stop it. All right. That's how we feel sometimes, either like the one that's going or the one that's trying so hard to get on and get with the program. So we came up with this sermon series called, read this with me, Thriving in a Nonstop World. Does it ever feel like that? That the world is just nonstop? For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus' wisdom from those verses that Jeff just read for us and how they help us thrive in a world that seems to keep going. Here's something I want to say before I start. I'm not going to fuss at you. I'm not going to tell you that you're too busy, because busy doesn't equal bad. I'm busy. I like to be busy. I like to have lots of stuff to do. I like to move fast. I like to do all that. What I want to do is talk about what it means to have balance in a busy world. You can be busy and you can have rest. And I think Jesus, in the verses that you just heard, kind of gives us a blueprint for how to do that. What I want to talk about is how do we have lives that have more meaning and more purpose and less frantic effort and less trying to get on that wheel so you can get going. Jesus wants to help us make decisions that build us up into the people that we were created to be. Jesus wants to help us run, you hear it, run with patience the race. It's another scripture. He wants to help us run with patience the race. The other day, I was driving up Route 28, and I thought of you. Why did I think of you as I was driving up Route 28? Well, I'll tell you. I was driving past all those fancy car places, you know, the Porsche, the Jaguar, the Ferrari. And they're all there, and I'm looking at the cars, and they're so fancy. They're so shiny. They have such detailed engines inside. They can do so many things. And when you drive by them and you see them sitting in the showroom or on the lot, they're just like, you can hear them purring, and they're like, I'm ready to go. Come on, take me out. I'm ready to go. And I thought of you all, because you are like finely crafted sports cars. You're like Ferraris or Jack, whatever you want to be. You're like one of those really fancy cars, and you're like, I'm ready to go. Take me out. Let me go. Let me get going. You were created to have such ability, and you're hungry to go. And as I sat on 28, because it was stopped dead, as I sat there, I looked at those cars, and I thought, this is Floris and restoration. This is kind of who we want to be. You're the kind of people that when you're walking around, people stop and go, wow, they're amazing. My 13-year-old grandson is just becoming aware of the craftsmanship of these cars. He's building, you know, those Lego models. If you don't know, there's Lego models that are Porsche and Ferrari and Jaguar and all those. And he is also learning how expensive they are. It was a little bit shocking to him. So here's what I'm saying very clearly. Don't go buy a sports car. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you were created with that care, that incredible detail. Most people that own those cars take such good care of them. I've never seen one of those cars covered with mud or the wheels scratched up, you know, when you pull into the curb too close, and people might comment on that from time to time. I've never seen a car like that. No, these cars are cared for inside and out. They are housed in heated garages, and if they get a dent, they're attended to right away. Here's what I know about Ferraris, which is not a lot. But you can run a Ferrari well, or you can run it ragged. You can attend to the sensitive workings of the engines, or you can ignore it until it drops. And if you do, you will have squandered all that you invested in that car. Even the most well-crafted engines require attention and regular tune-ups, and that includes you. You are the most magnificently built machine ever created. God looked around and God said, I want somebody to have a relationship with. And so God created humanity. And he created it so that we could do all of these amazing things. God created a masterpiece. God looked at you and said, you are good. You are good. You are good. You are very good. You are all masterpieces. In fact, you look so good this morning. I want you to turn to the person next to you and look them in the eye and say, you, Dave, are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Do it online. And now I want you to look back at them and say, I know. Because you are a masterpiece. You deserve to be buffed and shined. You deserve to be cleaned and polished, to be carefully attended to. And when you do that, when you care for, when you take care of yourself, you can go fast, you can take the corners at speed, and you will have people marvel at your beautiful self, at the masterpiece that you were created to be. But just like the inattentive Ferrari owner, if you don't take the time to allow the Creator to care for your needs, if you refuse to accept the attention offered, you will end up a tired sports car that limps down the road, hoping to get to the next stop. In our text today, Jesus offers us wisdom to live a life that is busy and restful. Remember, busy isn't bad. What I want to teach you about is what someone once called yoked busyness. Go ahead and say that so we remember it. Yoked busyness. Some of you are in a season of life that's super busy. Some of you have young children, teenage children. Frankly, you have children and you're busy. And you get up in the morning and it's go, 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 and you're either packing lunches or helping to pack lunches, you're driving the carpool, you're trying to figure out the logistics of life, and it's go, 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 and it's beautiful. It is a part of having children, but frankly, it's a lot. Some of you are in that season of life where your job has gotten to this point that you have worked to get to. But you're so busy, you are constantly going to meetings, you are constantly checking off boxes, you are constantly coming home realizing there's still more work to do, and you love it. It's the job that you chose, but it's a lot. Some of you are in a season of life where you have parents that are getting older, and you're looking at them, and you are realizing how precious the time is and how beautiful each day is. And then you worry about their health. And you worry about how you're both going to cope with this. And it's beautiful. And it's a lot. Some of you have retired. And you think, I'm going to have all the time in the world. And then you discover that there is much to do. And it's a lot. It's your life. And it's good. Let's read the scripture again. I had them put it on this beautiful slide so it would help us breathe. I want you to read this with me. If you're at home, let's do this together. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is an invitation to a different way of living. What is yoked busyness? It's connecting your busy life to Christ and allowing God to direct your path. It's the secret sauce that Christians have. We have this Savior, this Lord, who will help us figure out what to do. But if you don't yoke your life to Christ, you're probably going to feel worn out and tired and anxious and exhausted and run ragged, maybe even weary and weighed down. The beautiful machine that is you will begin to break down and slow down. And Jesus, in these verses, is telling us, here's how you can run well. So number one, come to me. Come to me. I want to give you some context. Jesus is talking to the people of his time, and he is helping them understand something really important. You remember that they lived under something we call the Mosaic Law, that Moses originally got the Ten Commandments from God on the mountain, and he comes down and he says, here are 10 commandments. If you live like this, you will live a life that honors God, and it will help you. Well, over time, the religious authorities got a little carried away and added hundreds of other laws to the 10. So instead of 10 commandments, you've got those plus hundreds of other ones. I can't remember how many, but it's a lot. And the people of the time were going, we can't do this. We can't do all of these things. We're tired and we're weary and we just feel like we're holding on things. And Jesus says, I want to help you simplify your life. Number one, come to me. Come to Jesus. It's the same thing that we experience today. You're busy. You're doing all the things. We take these finely crafted machines that we are, and Jesus says, come to me, and we say, oh, Jesus, I want to, but wait, I'm really busy right now, and we just blow right by him. We redline the engine and just go, go, go. And we're like, Jesus, I love you, but I've got to run the carpool right now, and Jesus, I love you, but I've got to get to the meeting. Jesus, I love you, but you don't understand how busy, busy, busy I am. Again, not bad things. But why are we doing them? Come to me. What happens when we come to Jesus, when we spend time with Jesus? What happens if, when you get in the carpool, Jesus is sitting right with you? What happens when you are on the Zoom call and Jesus is sitting next to you? What happens when you're cleaning up the dog mess one more time, but you're doing it with Jesus? When you come to Jesus, when you spend time with him, when you learn to lean on him and trust him, you begin to listen to what Jesus tells you. And Jesus is longing to tell you things. Jesus so much wants you to have a beautiful life. When we come to Jesus, we learn to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us rather than what we want. Because often our thoughts are not always aligned with Jesus. We have to learn to listen and in the midst of our busy lives, do what we hear Jesus telling us. There was a firefighter named Brian Thompson, and he was listening. I want to make sure I get the quote right here. A couple of weeks ago, Thompson and his firefighter company, this was in California, they got a call from a woman named Karen Garcia. She's a young mother. She's 33 weeks pregnant. She has three small children, and they're called to her house. The team shows up to the house. She is in very deep distress and distress, needs to go to the hospital right away. Here's the problem. Karen's husband left to go to his job that is an hour away 2 hours ago. And they just moved to that area. They don't know anybody yet. All of her relatives, all of her friends are 48 miles away. So what do you do? She's got to go to the hospital. The firefighters know that. They get together. They get her in the ambulance. They send her off. They call her family, and her brother answers the phone, and he says, I will come right away, but he's an hour away. So what are they going to do? Brian Thompson said, we're going to stay here. We're going to take care of these children. We're not going to get up and go away and just hope that things work out. So there, he's talking on the phone to Garcia's husband, who is understandably worried and coming home as fast as he can. And Thompson says to him, I reassured him, we will be here until somebody gets here. We will treat them like they are ours. And they did. They made them breakfast. They distracted them from the worry about their mom. They paused long enough to help them feel unafraid. Now, these are firefighters, and they could have said, I'm too busy, I'm too important, I've got to go listen for the next call. We certainly aren't going to stay here. We are not babysitters. But instead, they stayed. And they cared for the children. I want you to picture yourself as a young child. Your mom has just been taken away in an ambulance. You don't know anybody in the area, and you're frightened. And Brian Thompson said, oh, no, we're going to just stay right here. We're going to make them breakfast, and we're just going to be present until somebody else gets here. They stayed for 30 minutes, and then they got another call, which is their job. But just as they got the call, someone showed up to stay with the kids. Brian Thompson was asked, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "It really does take a village. We all have to look out for one another." Now, I don't know if Brian Thompson is a Christian, but I believe that God works in all of us. I believe the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear, just as he will whisper in yours, "Take care of these kids. Be present. Don't run off." Am I surprised that a firefighter chose to do that? No. But he didn't have to. He could have been so focused on the job, he missed the moment. "Come to me," Jesus says. Why? So that we learn to listen. When we're in the moment, when something happens and our instinct is, "Nope, we've got to go." But then you hear that whisper in your ear that says, "Just pause and take a breath and remember why you're here." The first step in yoked busyness is to come to Jesus and listen. Number two, Jesus says, "I will give you rest." Can I tell you something about people who own a Ferrari? Yes, we're back to the Ferraris. I was fascinated. They take it in for service regularly. They tune the engine. They buff. They vacuum. Most people who own a car of that expense drive other people crazy. They love it so much. What they believe is, it's a very special car. That's how Jesus feels about you. You're very special. God delights in you. The God of the universe who created you wants you to feel cared for. But some of you think you're a self-driving Ferrari. God is trying to pull you into the garage, but you're resisting. You're just going to keep going. When you have a little space of time, you fill it with something before you think about what you're filling it with. You resist it. You try to do one more thing. But can I tell you something this morning? Being busy and in a hurry all the time is not how you were created to be. You've got to let God have you and give you rest. What God knows is that in order for us to live the life of love and joy we were created to be, we would need rest. And another word for rest is Sabbath. You've heard this before. One of the Ten Commandments is you will honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. God is saying, take some time to rest. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It just has to be a time that you can rest. Let me ask you a question. Again, you don't have to raise your hand. In the last 7 days, have you had a day where you weren't redlining your engine? Have you had a day where you paused and put aside all of the worries, all of the accomplishing things that you needed to do? Or have you found some way to work 7, 8, 10, 15 days in a row? Maybe not the entire day, but all of those days you're working and you're working. Let me ask you this. Do you ever come to worship and your mind is so busy that you can't focus on what's happening? And you leave and you wonder, what was it we talked about? I do that sometimes. And I'm the pastor. Sometimes my mind gets so busy of what do I have to do next? Where do I have to go? Who do I have to see? What do I have to be? That I come to worship. And I'm too focused on that. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. God delights when we stop and care for ourselves, when we experience time to refresh, to turn off our brains. Yoked busyness includes Sabbath, because when we take Sabbath, we allow God to take care of us. Jesus is inviting us into a life where you can claim work and rest. Rest, how you rest is up to you. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. And finally this, take my yoke. You all know what a yoke is, right? Y-O-K-E. I spelled it wrong the first time I put it down. You know, like the egg yolk. No, Jesus says, take my yoke. It's the thing that pulls livestock together. In biblical times, it would have been on the oxen so that the oxen could be yoked together and could go together and be guided. It's a thing that helps drivers guide them along the right paths. The drivers use something called lead lines that are attached to it. I have this wonderful advantage of being mother-in-law to Farmer Paul at Frying Pan Park. And sometimes one of his jobs is to exercise the draft horses that are there. And sometimes I get to drive them. So let's see. It's a little bit cloudy, but that's me. You notice the lines that I'm holding? And they are attached to the horses. Do we have the other picture after that? You see the bar? It's attached so that the horses pull together. Draft horses are huge. They are gigantic. They are powerful, powerful machines. But you just take those reins and you pull gently, and they will go in the direction that you tell them to go. And you pull this way, and they'll go the other way. And you pull with firmness, and they will stop. You can actually feel the power in the lines as you hold them. They're waiting for you to guide them. It's a position of great responsibility. I would never do this without Paul right near me. God wants to hold your lead lines. God wants to help guide and direct you, not to control you along the right paths, but to help you know where to go. Can I tell you what a problem is? A problem is when a draft horse breaks free and runs off on their own. They're dangerous, they're big, and they can hurt people, and they can hurt themselves. They were designed to work together. You know, there was once at the farm a cow that escaped. He was very excited. The cow was big. Cows are big, too. And this cow escaped, and it went all the way to Route 28. And the farm team came running after it, and they got it. It was a very exciting time. I think we've used it before on a Sunday morning. Very exciting. They caught the cow. They got the cow back on the truck. The farm hands took it home. They calmed him down. They cleaned him up. They tended his wounds, and they put him back in the field with his friends. And he was exhausted, and he was frightened, and he was injured, and he was shaking. And so the question I have is, which had a better day? The yoked team that were guided along the way they were called to go, or the cow that went crazy and ran away? Now you're going to say, oh, that cow had an adventure. Yes, he did. But you can have an adventure with Jesus if you're allowing God to pull those lead lines and to guide you along the way. We are fearful of allowing anyone to pull our lead lines. We don't want to give up control. We think we know the best way. We think we know how to do this. Sometimes when you listen to Jesus, it feels like too much work to do what Jesus asks. But remember what Jesus promises. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wearing that yoke means that you will find rest for your souls. It means that stopping to study the worm or have the conversation with a friend or just sitting in silence is okay. It means that hurrying all the time is not only unnecessary, but unwise. Our souls need time to rest and focus. We must regularly step out of the mindset of the world around us, the measuring, the comparing, the competing, the hurrying, the craziness that can be our life. And we must take a rest and breathe. Remember whose you are. And then, in Christ-centered busyness, go forward, knowing that you have the balance of rest and being yoked to Christ. Sometimes people come to me and they say, I just don't know what to do. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know how to just slow down. I don't know how to live the life that I think I need to live. And the question that I have is, have you yoked yourself to Christ? Have you put on that bar that you're here and Jesus is right next to you? And God is holding the lead lines. Let's read the scripture one more time. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're about to receive Holy Communion together. And what I want to invite you to do today is to ask yourself the question, who am I yoked to? Who's guiding me? Who's directing me? Who is holding the lines? Is it me? Am I crazy on my own, just going willy-nilly anywhere I want? Have you yoked yourself to Christ?